This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Tom Barnett, Chief Information and Digital Officer at Baptist Memorial Healthcare in Memphis, Tennessee. Tom, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited to be here.
Before we jump into the questions, could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about your background?
Sure. So as you said, my title is Chief Information and Digital Officer for Baptist Memorial Healthcare. My background, right out of college, as a matter of fact, is I was aligned with, I've always been fascinated by where technology and application, software application solutions kind of intersect and support business processes. So my degree was actually in management information systems. And I went right out of that into, as I was grown up rather in the Metro Detroit area, mostly worked for the big three or somebody supporting the big three automotive. And I was immediately put into the world of software solutions and technology and so forth. And it's kind of been the theme throughout my career is being able to bridge that gap between business and operations and the technology solutions that support them.
Fantastic. Well, I'm really excited to have you on the podcast. Now, could you talk a little bit about what your top priorities are for today?
Certainly. So fortunately, at Baptist Memorial, not unlike many healthcare systems across the U.S. now, they're kind of coming through having done a very successful deployment over the last and optimization over the last 8 to 10 years. So from an EHR perspective, and we're an Epic shop, it's very successfully deployed, very stable. We are also an Epic 10-star recognized organization for having deployed, you know, a lot of Epic functionality. But from a priority perspective, I think Baptist, as well as others, are now taking a step back saying, okay, now that we've got the EHR locked in, how do our business systems look, or, enterprise resource planning? Are we really optimized? Are we on the best platform? How do we embrace cloud technology? What do some of those new and emerging solutions look like, and how can we capitalize on those well to manage our costs a little better, or get particularly some of the power of cloud-based artificial intelligence and machine learning solutions that can really help you ferret out kind of your cost and your expense opportunities. I'd say that's one large area, is looking at our ERP space. Another, I think, is very similar to most other organizations, going through a kind of a performance analytics exercise. So definitely collecting and curating and collating all of the data that we can from across the organization and putting them through certain types of governance committees to make sure that we're all agreeing on a piece of data is declared correctly and recognized as the standard of truth across the organization. But as well as getting those into a data warehouse and particularly an analytics platform, that's allowing us to now look for patterns, to draw correlations, to look for the opportunities that may be out there. As the industry in general begins to pivot from a fee-for-service type of model into a value-based model, there's three variables you absolutely have to manage in order to be successful in that value-based world. First one is knowing your providers. The next would be knowing your costs. And then third is just knowing your outcomes and really how your patients are responding to treatments and so forth. So I think EMRs, EHRs in general, are giving us great information on the patient, collating that data around performance and outcomes with our providers, but then weaving into it from the cost perspective. What do our back-end costs look like, and how do they match up with the revenue and so forth to make sure that we're hitting the optimal operation spend and run models that allow us to be successful in that value-based world? So I think from that analytics perspective, absolutely. That's one of our key priorities. I'd say the third area that's a priority for us is it's the buzzword. Everybody has to drop it into any discussion that they're having. Digital front door. Or anything around, which I'm not a big fan of the term digital front door, but if you use it as an all-encompassing umbrella to address a basket of different strategies that are out there, then absolutely, I think we're similar to every other health system. We're looking at exactly what those are. And I twist it a little bit differently. I heard somebody reference it one time a short while ago, as it's really meeting the patient where they are and digitally connecting them to the services they're looking for, as opposed to kind of one entry point to a health system. I think you have multiple ways that patients can engage you. whether that's from the omni-channel world of voice or text or even inbound to your website. It could be from the search engine. They could be, you know, out there at one of the major search engines looking for something that they may be in need of at that point in time. How are we finding, how are we connecting with those patients? And then how do we make the click stream or the journey into connecting them to the right provider to get them the care they need? We need to make that as much of an anticipated journey and a smooth journey as we can for those patients. And that requires, and that's the height of kind of digital transformation right now. It absolutely requires technology to be part of it, to play its role, but it also is a lot of process reengineering. It's looking at the processes that historically have been in healthcare and have been done the same way for a long time. And as you look to keep the patient at the center, and particularly that experience that patient has at the center of their interactions with the health system, and you use that as your true north, if you will, to use a compass reference, everything else begins to fall into place. So how do we make those journeys seamless? How do we reduce the number of clicks? Yes, there's things we can do with technology, but there's also things we can do from process and requirements. And why is this form needed at this particular stage? How do we streamline it? How do we unclutter that journey for that patient? So that becomes an exciting nexus of those two worlds coming together. And I would say that's kind of the third major area that we're focusing on.
That's fantastic to hear. And so interesting to think about how healthcare delivery is changing, whether you're talking about, as you mentioned, some of the analytics platforms, performance analytics on the backside, but then also from the patient's perspective, how they're digitally connecting with healthcare providers or really health systems and what that process looks like. I'm wondering next, how do you anticipate your role and teams will evolve over the next 18 months, given some of these changing dynamics within the healthcare space?
I heard it put really well one time, and I'm adapting it to kind of our situation here. In the previous world within an IP, a lot of the solutions that you did is you plan, you did three stages. You planned, you built, and then you operated your software solutions. And that's a model that served this IT industry very well for many decades. But we're now kind of moving firmly into a new world, which is embracing a lot of cloud technologies, a lot of consumer technologies in order to connect with and interact with our patients. So rather than that plan, build, operate model, we're now in kind of what's a broker, an orchestrate, and an integrate world. And broker is you're coming up with solutions, you work with your business partners, you work with clinicians in the front line, you figure out what outcome or what problem they're trying to solve or what outcome they're trying to achieve. And it may be bringing a couple of different vendors to the table that will all play a part of that overall journey, but they're going to have to be integrated. And as we think about that patient experience, there's a certain level of orchestration that needs to occur between that. So from the days of kind of programming or coding the whole solution, soup to nuts or front to back yourself, versus now integrating a lot of cloud-based technologies, that really takes a slightly different skill set. While the basics may be the same, and then the fundamental understanding of how IT support clinician and business operation workflows, the world is different in how we approach those. So now it becomes almost modular. You need to know the strengths and weaknesses of different solutions and how to piece them together in the right way to get to the outcome that you're looking for. So for us over the next 12 to 18 months, it's really going to be developing those skill sets for kind of that broker and integrate type of world, as well as maybe do some team adjustments and so forth to be able to embrace that. We're all seeing the footprint of our data centers minimize or shrink to a certain extent, and we move part of that processing and that data storage load off to the clouds. And I think with that, the skill sets and our approach to architecture and integration are going to change right along with it.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And I really appreciate you taking us through that. Next, I'm wondering, what are you excited about today and what makes you nervous?
From the excitement perspective, I think anytime we get the chance to step outside of the box and take an innovative approach to performing a service or helping us, I think, you know, what we've all been through over the last year with the COVID pandemic, that has been a catalyst in terms of advancing healthcare down the digital path. So whether it's connecting with patients remotely or for video visits or e-visits or new innovative ways to process at first COVID testing for many of our patients across our three states that we serve, or as that quickly pivoted once a vaccine became available, workflows, innovative reminder approaches, how to do scheduling with patients that have vaccines that require a two-step dosage to receive, and making sure that that all stays sequenced as well as gets uploaded to the appropriate health department boards for each of the three states. Those are all exciting things because they're new problems and we're able to tackle them in new ways. So that always remains exciting anytime we're able to do something like that. Another example is particularly for us here in Baptist, at Baptist Memphis, we're moving into the hospital at home realm. So working through those kind of technology solutions for how do you take a low acuity patient and move that setting of care, which historically in a med-surg would have been in a hospital, is now in their home. How do you connect? What are the workflows? What are the technologies that are needed? What kind of redundant technologies do we need? Those kind of new areas are really exciting. From the concern standpoint, it has been, it is today, and I'm sure it always will be in the future, making sure that our security is up to the level and the strength that it needs to be. It's always one thing when you have all of your assets and all of your digital technology within a data center to be able to secure it and think through all of your different vulnerabilities. But now as you begin integrating and partnering with different cloud-based solutions, and now moving settings of care into the home, how do we make sure that those threat surfaces are appropriately addressed and those vulnerabilities mitigated? I liken it to anytime you build a 10-foot wall around your castle, so to speak, it seems like the bad guys always come back with a 12-foot ladder. So staying on top of that and making sure that we're evolving, that we're constantly probing and testing our own assumptions and constantly coming up with, you know, what's that new approach that we should take, because, you know, the bad guys never sleep. And as a result, it means that we can't either.
Got it. I think that's really, you know, an interesting perspective in terms of looking at some of the different exciting things you're doing with remote care, especially in the healthcare at home, but then how that dovetails into the concerns with cybersecurity and making sure that, you know, everything that you're doing is under that secure blanket. So I know there are a lot of challenges to troubleshoot. And so we appreciate you doing that. Now, before we wrap up the conversation, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about leadership. Can you share three important trends for emerging leaders to follow today?
Sure. In this type of world and where we're at in 2021, some principles don't change. So absolutely, communication, letting folks know and being transparent as you can be with any challenges that we're running into, but making sure that you're painting that vision of where we're headed as well is critical. So another aspect to that is also listening. I don't think there's anybody in a C-suite or any kind of leadership position that can sit in their office and for any moment think that they know all of the answers to all of the problems or even be aware of all of the problems. So I think you definitely need to listen. And starting any kind of role, whether you're promoted into it or you're hired into it from the outside of the organization, listening and listening tours are absolutely critical from a leadership perspective, because that's where a lot of the best ideas would come from. And then I think another point would just be always look for best practices from other industries. I think there's a lot that industries other than healthcare can teach healthcare about how to accomplish things and how to optimize processes and so forth. One of the cornerstones of the Baptist Management System, which is a management approach that they utilize and teach very well here within Baptist, is actually taken from the automotive industry, from Toyota in particular. There's a lot of principles that can be adapted. While they may not port directly, but they can be adapted and they are finding great success. So I would say look to other industries and see what their approaches have been and how might that work in the type of work that we're doing every day.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's really interesting to think about your third point in finding the best practices from the industry. I know, as you mentioned, with Baptist Memorial, you know, looking to the auto industry, are you able to share an example or two of how you're applying some of those principles into the organization?
Sure. So here's an example. In a manufacturing line, they want to do a quality improvement initiative that, you know, they're going to start with a baseline. They're going to notice, you know, what's the quality rate that they're hitting on a particular production run. And then they're going to do control tests and say, okay, let's change, you know, this painting approach or let's change this step process for how this part is applied and see what the impacts are on a measured apples to apples basis to see if they can achieve the quality numbers that they're looking for. I think there's similar approaches that can be done, although humans are different from cars, obviously, in that they're not as standardized. But I think there is an approach within, and as an example, they've seen within Baptist, of even doing things like looking at infection rate and treating shifts similar to shifts on a production line and saying, okay, let's look at the variability that we have, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's about addressing variability and removing as much of it as we can. Here's the infection rate that we're running at. Here's the typical practices. Maybe they're different, slightly different from person to person in terms of, you know, how catheters are inserted, for example. And we come up with the best practice. We look at which one has the best outcome. We then teach it, standardize it, move it across, and now come up with the same type of window, look at the outcomes from an infection rate over a similar shift, compare it back to the baseline, and utilizing that type of scientific approach is being able to spread and propagate best practices, but making sure that they're using evidence-based approach to managing out the variability. Very, very similar in that respect to the automotive industry.
Tom, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast with me today. This has been a really fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you, Laura.